Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1. I am the one who has seen the afflictions that come from the rod of the Lord's anger. He has led me into darkness, shutting out all light. He has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and flesh grow old. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and surrounded me with anguish and distress. He has buried me in a dark place like those long dead. He has walled me in and I cannot escape. He has bound me in heavy chains, and though I cry and shout, he has shut out my prayers. He has blocked my way with a high stone. He has made my road crooked. I just got a sense that there's so many of us here this week that feel that way. We feel like we are walled in. And then no matter how many times we cry and we shout, he has shut out our prayers. We believe he's blocked our way with a high stone wall and nothing's getting through. Verse 10, he is hidden like a bear or a lion, waiting to attack me. He has dragged me off the path and torn me in pieces, leaving me helpless and devastated. He has drawn his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He shot his arrows deep into my heart. My own people laugh at me all day long. They sing their mocking songs. He has filled me with bitterness and given me a bitter cup of sorrow to drink. He has made me chew on gravel. He has rolled me in the dust. Peace has been stripped away, and I have forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. There's some of us in here today. That's us. We feel that. Everything we've been hoping for, everything we've been believing for, everything we've been crying out for, it feels like it's been shut out from us. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Let's pray. If you just need to put some faith in this moment, just put your hand up in the air. Or just put your hand out like you're just ready to receive. And just whisper to him in this moment, I'm going to dare to hope. Just whisper that to him. Just tell him. He hears you. It might feel like nothing's been getting through, but I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, the lid, the cap is coming off and something's getting through today. Because we pray to the Father in the name of the Son. The Son bought and paid for a way for us to have access to the Father. And now the Father hears your voice. So Jesus, we pray in your name to our Holy Father. And we just dare to believe. We just dare to hope today. That no matter what we've been going through, no matter what we've been facing, we're not going to turn back because we know your mercies never fail. Your goodness is good. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New. You haven't changed. You're still the same God. And you made a way through the darkness. You made a way through the valley. And you made a way through the pit. And so even when it feels like we're down in the darkness, we know you still hear us. You're still near to us. And we praise you because you're worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We know your faithful love never ends. I pray for strength to hope today. That we would dare to hope today. In the name of Jesus, amen. You ever feel like that? Where your prayers, you just keep going and you keep going and it's like nothing is going through. First of all, if you're doing that, are you actually sitting and waiting for Him to answer? That's one thing. Sit and wait on the Lord. Learn in every season to sit and wait on the Lord and wait in the stillness and silence of His presence. Sometimes we're just so quick to just, we say a prayer really quick, we say something, and we expect it immediately, but we never actually wait and listen for His voice. Because I'm telling you, He wants to speak. He's always speaking. It's just, will you make margin in your life to sit and listen to His voice, to sit in stillness, to sit in silence, to turn off your phone, to turn off your TV, to turn off the music, and to just sit in that stillness and silence? Will you make margin for Him? That will make all the difference, if you'll just do that. All of a sudden, you'll go from saying, I never hear God. I don't know how people hear God. It's not possible. It doesn't happen. He doesn't speak. And all of a sudden, you'll start to realize, oh, no. He's here. He's real. That's what happens. Even on a Sunday morning, what are you doing? You're making margin in your life to come and worship. You're making margin on your life to come and sit in His presence, to listen to His word. And what does He do? He delivers every time. Every time He shows up, every time He's faithful, every time He's good, His word is always producing. It never returns void. That's why even on my worst Sunday, even on my Sunday when I get up and I'm like, Lord, I got nothing. What's He telling me to do? Just go to the word. Just go to the word. All you got to do is preach my word because it never returns void. And that's what the people are here for, son. They're not here for you. Don't put on a show. Just deliver my word. And so even on those Sundays when I get up and I'm like, God, I got nothing. I don't know what you want for your people. And He just says, just go to my word. If you don't know what to do, just speak my word because it will never return void. It's good seed. Every time you sow that seed, it's always prospering. It's always bringing forth life. And so if you're in a season where you feel like there is death and darkness and you are underground and you're in a pit and you can't hear Him, you can't see Him, and it feels like He's far from you, just go to His word and just begin to open it up and just begin to read it and then begin to actually read it out loud and speak it over your life. Begin to look at those promises in His word and begin to speak them over your life and realize, oh, I'm adopted into His family and those promises are now for me. He's near. He loves us. Hold on to that in those dark pit seasons when it feels like nothing is getting through. Make margin in your life. Now, if you've done all that and you're still in a moment, because this is from Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. Jeremiah was a prophet. This was a man who was on fire for the Lord. He walked with Him. He heard His voice. This is from a prophet. And even he had moments where it felt like, man, I can't hear anything. Did you see that? Did you catch that there? Go back there, chapter 2, or chapter 3. And though I cry and shout, He has shut out my prayers. Even the prophets have moments where it feels like your prayers are shut out from heaven. He has blocked my way with a high stone wall. He has made my road crooked. So if you've done all these things, and you've heard Him speak in the past, and you're doing all the same things again, and you're waiting for Him to speak again, and it's not happening, you're not hearing His voice, guess what? Even the prophets have been there. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. I've been there all week. I just keep going to Him and sitting with Him. I keep cutting out and making margin in my life. And for some reason, it just felt like there's a stone wall all this week. And there's a stone wall day after day and moment after moment. And I just keep opening up His word and I just keep praying and I just keep asking. And it's like nothing is getting through. And I just keep sitting and trying to wait on Him. And nothing gets through. It feels like there's a stone wall. What's He say to do? Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this? The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Even in a pit season, even in silence, even when it feels like there's a stone wall between you and the Lord, dare to hope. The devil wants to discourage you, and the devil wants you to doubt, and the devil wants you to quit. We say it all the time. The devil, he can't steal anything from you. He's trying to steal it from you, but it's your choice whether you give it up or not. It's your choice whether you give up in these moments and you turn away and you walk away from the Lord and you follow the world. It's a choice. We have a choice to make in these moments. Dare to hope in those moments and look back and remember. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Verse 23. Verse 24, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Don't lean into the world. Don't lean into the noise of the world. Because that's another thing the devil wants you to do. In those seasons when it feels like nothing's getting through and you can't hear his voice and it feels like there's a wall built up between you and him, he wants you to get numb. And he wants the world to get loud and busy around you. He wants you to sit and just sit mindlessly and watch a screen or listen to some music or do whatever you can do to just get numb and forget the fact that it feels like there's distance and there's a wall between you and him. Because that just increases the wall. The more we get numb, it just builds the wall. Don't lean in to what the devil wants in this season. Lean in to hope. Dare to hope. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. Keep searching. Even when there's a wall, keep searching. Keep going. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord, and it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. Let them sit alone in silence beneath the Lord's demands. Let them lie face down in the dust, for there may be hope at last. Pastor Stone got up here and talked about getting into a position of humility, a position to be able to receive from the Lord. There's no lower place than when your face is down in the dust. Let them turn the other cheek to those who strike them and accept the insults of their enemies, for no one is abandoned by the Lord forever. It might feel like forever in the moment, but it doesn't happen forever. That's in his word. No one is abandoned by the Lord forever. All scripture is God-breathed. This is a promise. So you might be in a season where it feels like he hasn't spoken and he's not talking to you, and it might feel like this is forever. This is it. There is no God. He doesn't exist. He doesn't care anymore. He's forgotten me. I'm done with him. It's not forever. Though he brings grief, he also shows compassion because of the greatness of his unfailing love. For he does not enjoy hurting people or causing them sorrow. Whatever you're going through, he's not getting enjoyment out of this. We talk about this, this just keeps coming up. Sometimes there are moments where the Lord disciplines and corrects us. The author of Hebrews, he talks about that. Or she. Some people think it could have been Priscilla. Just a little random one for you. Just like hit me, and I'm like, I got to share that. It might not be, some people say it's Paul, but a lot of scholars actually believe it's Priscilla. So, correction and discipline, you might be going through it right now in this season. And I talked about this last week. Like, sometimes we just excuse it away, and we just say, oh, no, bad things just happen. We live in a fallen world. And because of that, we're missing out on what the Lord is trying to teach us through correction and discipline. Because he's a good father. Does a good father enjoy correction and discipline? No. Like, we've gone through seasons in our house. Like, luckily there's seasons. And it's not every week, week after week. Because guess what? When there's correction and discipline, behavior gets changed. Because you realize, oh, if I keep going down this path, oh, it leads in discipline. It leads in correction. And it's not fun. And so we've gone through seasons of correction and discipline with each of our kids. And so, I don't know, somebody's probably going to call CPS on me. One of our things that we started to use, we started out with like the soap in the mouth. And then, you know, somebody said like, oh, actually you should do hot sauce. And so now people are like, wow, you put hot sauce in your kid's mouth? Listen, okay, don't judge, all right? But there's got to be some kind of correction and discipline. And we didn't love spanking. Like, I'm not against spanking, but we didn't love it. And so we tried this hot sauce method. And I got to tell you, it's a good deterrent, all right? So there you go. If you're a parent in the house right now, there you go. There's your free advice. Or some of you are like, shh, I'm calling CPS right now. All right, like, fine. The first time that one of our kids got the hot sauce in their mouth, it was something that they have never forgotten. All right? It wasn't like, you know, it was a mild hot sauce. They don't like spicy food, all right? So it was eye-opening to them. Now, when we bring it up again and say, do you want this? It changes behavior. And that is correction and discipline. Did I enjoy making my kids eat hot sauce? No, all right? Did I enjoy when we did try spanking? Did I enjoy that? No. A good father does not, and I'm not a good father. He's the good father. We're not a better father or mother than he is. He is a better parent than we are. So don't be so prideful to think like, oh no, I wouldn't enjoy that, but God, he enjoys it. No, that's wrong. That's sinful to assume that you're a better parent than God. God does not enjoy correction and discipline, but does he enjoy the results that come from it when we change our path? Yes. My wife and I, we've enjoyed the results that have come when our kids have received that discipline or correction and they changed the path that they were on. We enjoy that because we want peace in our home. And we teach them. We want to teach them. When you walk in alignment with what God's word says, when you walk in a place of submission and honor to your mother and father, guess what? We don't have to come in and correct. We don't have to come in and discipline. There's a blessing. There's a natural blessing that occurs when you correct your behavior and you walk in alignment with what the Father says. The Father does not enjoy it. You might be in a season right now where it feels like you are going through correction and discipline. Understand, he is not enjoying this. But he loves you, and he loves you too much to withhold correction and discipline from us. If people crush underfoot all the prisoners of the land, if they deprive others of their rights in defiance of the Most High, if they twist justice in the courts, doesn't the Lord see all these things? Verse 37, who can command things to happen without the Lord's permission? Does not the Most High send both calamity and good? Then why should we mere humans complain when we are punished for our sins? Instead, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven us. You have engulfed us with your anger, chased us down, and slaughtered us without mercy. You have hidden yourself in a cloud so our prayers cannot reach you. You have discarded us as refuse and garbage among the nations. All our enemies have spoken out against us. We are filled with fear, for we are trapped, devastated, and ruined. Tears stream from our eyes because of the destruction of my people. My tears flow endlessly. They will not stop until the Lord looks down from heaven and sees. My heart is breaking over the fate of all the women of Jerusalem. My enemies, whom I have never harmed, hunted me down like a bird. They threw me into a pit, and they dropped stones on me. The water rose above my head, and I cried out, "This is the end." But I called on your name, Lord, from deep within the pit. You heard me when I cried. Listen to my pleading. Hear my cry for help. Yes, you came when I called. You told me, do not fear. Lord, you have come to my defense. You have redeemed my life. Examine our ways. Go back to that verse 40. Instead, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. To me, this sounds a lot like 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says this in verse 27. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, many die. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. That judgment, that what we're going through, it's so that we would not be condemned with the world. It's for our good. So if you're in a season right now where it feels like, man, everything is going against me, and it feels like the Lord is just coming against me, when you come into this moment, when we take communion, if we would just stop and slow down and just examine ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please reveal in me anything unclean, anything impure, anything I need to repent of and turn back to you instead of my ways, instead of the world's ways, anything I've been leaning not on your understanding, not on your will, not on your mind, but on my own understanding, may I repent of that in this moment and turn back to you. Communion is a chance to do that. We don't come in here and take that moment lightly. We come in here and treat that moment as holy, because it is. When something goes wrong, when something gets off course in your life, when something doesn't begin to match up or look the way you thought it would or you think it should, I just want to challenge us, church. Like, don't just excuse it away and say we're in a fallen world and bad things just happen. Just go to him and ask, Lord, reveal any unclean thing in my heart right now. If there's something that I've gotten off, that I've moved away from your will into my own will, take a moment to repent and to turn back to him. People get offended by this message. In the church, like, we don't talk about this stuff because it's offensive. You're saying, oh, because this happened in my life, like I did something wrong, I sinned. That's our first reaction. I just want to reframe that. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, you're obese, like you need to change the way you're eating. Now, there's some people that are going to get offended by that. But if they would just receive that truth and say, you're right. Like, I've let food be an idol in my life. I've let food control my life. I need to repent, and I need to change what I'm doing. I need to change my habits and my behaviors, because what I'm doing is wrong, and it's hurting my body. Guess what? You're going to get healthier. The same thing can happen spiritually. If we would just receive what he has for us in his word, and if we would just make the change, if we would repent, that's all change is. It's just the changing of our mind, the transforming of our mind. It's just saying, I've been going this way. I've been choosing these things. I've been thinking this way, but I want to think his way, and I want to go his way. It would change the direction of our lives, and guess what? You're going to get healthier. Things are going to change. Things are going to transform. But for most of us, it's easier to accept something like that from a doctor than it is from a pastor or a preacher or a prophet or an apostle or whoever. It doesn't matter. If somebody tells us something is wrong spiritually and it might be affecting us physically, that's one of the most offensive things in the church. And so the church has gone away from teaching on any of this doctrine. We don't talk about it. I've had people over these last 3 years get mad at me and ask, why are you talking about this? Why are you preaching on this? Why are you teaching on this? And I sit there and the devil tries to get me to doubt the message that God has planted in my heart. And he says, you need to move away from this. This isn't what the people want to hear. This isn't what they want. They're mad. They're angry. People are going to leave your church. People have left our church over this. But I just keep coming back to the fact this is the most loving thing I can say. Because I love our church. And I love you too much to withhold the truth of God's word from you. I love you too much to withhold the truth of God's word from my own life, from my own family. When there's any kind of sickness that enters our home, I go to the Lord and I say, God, is there something, did I get misaligned? Did I get a little off somewhere? Because I'd rather be overly cautious in examining my own life than be undercautious and get lazy and say, oh, no, there's nothing there. Because what happens when we start to do that? We begin to drift. When we stop examining our lives and we stop looking and asking him to reveal what's within us that we need to repent of and move forward from in a transformed mind, in the mind of Christ, that we need to make a decision that's different from the worldly decisions we've been making. We have a choice to make. I don't want to drift. I want to keep examining. I want to keep going deeper because he's an infinite God. There's deeper levels. There's an infinite level, amount of levels and deepness we can go in exploring our relationship with him. Sometimes we just get enough of God and we say, that's it. That's all I want. I got saved and that's all the God I want. There's more of him to experience. There's more of his word to be transformed by. There's more of him to learn about every day, to walk with him, to listen to his voice, and to speak and declare his truth. He's an infinite God. When Jeremiah, when he got through that pit season, he wrote Lamentations. And just hold on to Lamentations 3. If you're taking notes, if you're highlighting Lamentations 3, 21 through 22, do not forget that today. Whatever you're going through, do not forget those verses. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Exodus 13:8, and you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. This was God telling the Israelite people. He was teaching them and giving them decrees and just showing them things. And one of the most important things he told them was, share your story with your kids. Pass that on from generation to generation. Chapter 13, verse 8 in Exodus, you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. You got to look back and you got to remember, because there's going to be days when you don't feel like going forward, when you don't feel like moving forward, but you dare to hope on those days because you remember and because you look back. You got to remember to declare his mercies never fail, to remember that his goodness and his faithfulness, it endures till the end. So on those days when the devil's trying to get you to doubt and to quit and to stop, you got to stop work. You got to stop listening to him and you got to start listening to the Lord and remember the stories of the past. Because right now in this moment, it feels like you got nothing to hold on to. And it feels like he's not saying anything new. He's not saying anything fresh. And so you got to just look back. And you got to look back at his faithfulness, his goodness, and see what he's done. See how he's delivered. See how he's saved. See how he brought you up out of Egypt. Don't forget the Egypt he brought you out of. We've all been in an Egypt. We've all been slaves to sin. But he brought each and every one of us up out of it. And some of you, you're here today, and you're hearing this for the first time, and you're coming out of Egypt today. I'm just believing that for you. You're going to say, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back anymore. I just want to declare his goodness and faithfulness every day of my life because he's worthy. Don't forget the stories. I was driving into church this morning, and I got to a stoplight, and I texted our friends Corby and Molly. A lot of you guys know them. They're a big part of this church. They've been with us from the very beginning. They're in the hospital, and they just gave birth to their baby boy this morning. Their first son. Yeah. And I've been struggling all this week, just like feeling like, man, I'm in this pit and there's this wall between me and the Lord. And I just had to go back and I had to remember what he's done. And I asked Molly, tell me again. What did the doctors tell you last year? What did they tell you about you being able to have a baby? And she had surgery last year, and the doctors told her it could never happen, or if it does, it might take years. It could take a long time. She said within a month of that surgery, they were pregnant. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Like, you have to go back and you have to remember what he's done. When you get to those moments where it feels like he's done, like he's not doing anything ever again, go back and remember what he's already done, because he's going to do it again. He's going to. He keeps coming through. I remember praying with a couple last fall also, and they're here today, and they were discouraged about what they've been going through. But I told them I believed the baby was coming. And now he's out there holding his baby today. Like, praise God. Like, you got to remember how he keeps showing up. You got to remember. He's done it before and he'll do it again. Don't forget the stories. Keep telling the stories. Tell the stories to your kids. Tell the stories to your grandkids about he's come through and how he's delivered in your life. Because it will give you hope in those valleys. It will give you hope in the pit. Worship team, I'll invite you guys up as we get ready to close here. I shared this story a little bit last week from 1 Samuel chapter 2. It was about a woman who was praying for a baby. She didn't have a baby, and she kept praying. And the Lord, she made a promise to the Lord, and the Lord came through, and he delivered. The priest in that house, at the temple at that time, his name was Eli. The sons of Eli, it says in chapter 2, verse 12, they were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged fish hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. And then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." And if the man said to him, "They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires," he would then answer him, "No, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering to the Lord. These were Eli, this was the priest's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, that were doing this. Skip down to verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. These were the priests abusing their power, abusing their authority. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. And the child, Samuel, he grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. Samuel was that miracle baby, the one that God gave to Hannah. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, Did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Don't forget the stories of Egypt. Look what happens when you forget, when you stop looking back, when you stop remembering what God has done, when you stop telling the stories of his goodness and his faithfulness. You get a Hophni and you get a Phinehas. You get men who forget to fear the Lord. Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me? He refused to discipline and remove his sons from their positions. And in doing so, he honored his sons more than the father. To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. But any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die, both of them. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, please put me in one of the priestly positions that I may eat a piece of bread. In the next chapter, Hophni and Phinehas, they're killed in battle against the Philistines, carrying the ark of the Lord into the camp of the Israelites. In 1 Samuel 4, it says a man ran from the battle line to share with Eli what had happened. Verse 17, the messenger, he came and he said, Israel has fled before the Philistines. There's been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backward by the seat of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said, do not fear, for you have borne a son. But she did not answer. She did not regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel. Because the ark of God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. I'm here to tell you today, the glory has not departed. He's here today. He's always raising him up. We go from glory to glory. And so even when it feels like you're in the valley and you're in the pit, glory is coming. And so you hold on to hope. You dare to hope in every season. Because the glory has not departed. God had already raised up a man of God, Samuel, in his house. And today we have a better way. We have Jesus. And so now we move in every season from glory to glory. So whatever season you're in right now, whatever you're going through right now, I just want you to know, he's here, he's in the room, and if you want, you can invite him into your heart. If you want to do that today, if you've never made him Lord of your life, I would just tell you, come forward today. Come forward to the altar. Just say the word. Say, Jesus, your Lord, your Savior. I want you. I want everything you have for me. I want to give my life to you. I want to be a living sacrifice for you. And if you just need a return today because you were in the ark, you were in the dark place, and you thought the glory had departed and he was never coming back, but now you know without a doubt we move from glory to glory, you can do that today also. Come and declare that he is still good, he's still on the throne, and he's still worthy to be praised. Let's stand up and worship him.